Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, we're in a series on Psalm 23, and so the title of the series is Guided into the Future, and we're in part two of the series. So if you're joining us tonight, Psalm 23, I believe a very encouraging psalm, a very comforting psalm. And the title of the message is No Fear. As God guides us into the future. Listen, there's a lot of things we don't know about the future, right? Nobody knew in January what the future held. And aren't you glad sometimes God doesn't show you some of the things that are ahead of you? He just wants us to trust Him. He wants us to know that He's beside us. He wants us to know that He's going to be there to help us, that we don't have to be afraid of the future. We don't have to be fearful. We don't have to wonder what's going to happen, because we have a God who knows who we are, He knows where we are, and He knows exactly what we need. And He's right there beside us, and like a shepherd, He's providing for us. So we looked at verses 1 through 3. Tonight we're going to look at Psalm 23 and verse 4. But before we do, on the way to Psalm 23, I want to take just a few moments and talk with you and with all of the campuses. In fact, we decided to simulcast because the campus pastor's like, you know, I think it would be better for people to hear what you're going to say from you. And I'm happy to just share. And really, I think as the lead pastor, to be able to talk with you about something that's really swept the country. A few weeks ago, I had a pastor who texted me. I got up in the morning and I'm reading my text at 4:30, and he's like, hey, have you seen this? And have you watched this? And I hadn't. And he said, you know, I just wonder what you think. And so I watched this video done by a pastor in Kentucky. And I'm sure many of you have seen it because I have had many people ask me about it. So I sat and watched it, and I wrote essentially an 8-point response. I mean, I thought, well, I'll call him and talk to him, and then I thought, no, I'll just start, and my thumbs got to moving, and before I knew it, I had written a book to him via text. So, you know, I just was sharing kind of what I thought, and then I thought, you know what, I'll talk to our staff about it. And so we had a Zoom call and just talked to the staff and shared some of my thoughts on it. You may not know anything about it. If you don't feel bad. If you do, then you're like, huh, I wonder what John's going to say. The pastor is a man by the name of Dana Coverstone, and one of our pastors on staff actually grew up with Dana and has known him since he was 5 years old. So Dana is a pastor in Birchfield, Kentucky, and he recorded a video of a prophecy, recorded it around the 22nd of June of this year, a prophecy, and he describes what he believes the Lord has shown him. And what he does is he starts by saying, I'll just kind of summarize it for you rather than show. It's about 15 minutes long. If you go YouTube, Dana Coverstone, you won't have any problem finding it if you want to watch it later. He starts by saying he had a vision or a dream in December of 2019, and he saw the calendar going by, and it opened to March, and people were wearing masks, and there were protests, and there were hospitals full, and buildings were burning, and he saw vultures flying over cities, and people fearfully looking out their windows, and he heard the phrase, brace yourself. So he says, you know what, I had that back in December. I told it to a group of guys. They can verify that I saw this, and he says, but I've had a second dream, and that's really what occupies the video. And he says again, what he saw was, and the dream came to him in June, and what he saw in his vision was, he saw the calendar flipping, and it was September, and it was October, and then it was November, and a fist smashes the calendar. And he sees armed protesters fighting in the streets, schools closed, banks with roofs off and money flying out of them, politicians in the back room, in back rooms making deals and smiling, and Washington, D.C. is burning, and people are being rounded up by Chinese and Russian soldiers and by UN peacekeeper troops, and the vultures are now gargoyles, and they're snatching people and attacking people, and people are in hiding, and churches are being burned, and there's civil war. And then he has a third dream, and there's no coins, and now, and there's not only going to be no coins, but now there's going to be no dollar bills, no $5 bills. And so that's kind of, I'm summarizing everything. And then he draws some applications for people, saying, okay, in light of that, this is what he prescribes. He counsels, number one, that people should be stocking up on food, stockpiling food. Second, that people should be stockpiling alternate forms of currency, gold, silver, different things, and that people should stock up on guns and on ammunition. Now, let me say this. I'm sure Dana's a really nice guy, okay? So I don't want anybody to view this as a personal attack, but when you put something out on the web and you're disseminating it to the church at large, and people are watching this, and they're doing it in a time when there's just a lot of unrest and uneasiness anyway, and you're stirring up the church of the living God, then at that point, I feel like you have to be ready for people to not only digest it, but to comment on it. And as a pastor, my goal is not to do anything other than to provide for those who are part of James River Church. That's who I answer to God for. But I'm concerned, I was concerned early on in talking to the staff. I said people might talk to you, and people already had, and the staff had seen it. And yet I thought, well, you know what, I'm not going to make too big a deal out of it. But especially because of the times in which we live, it's taken on a really, I think, an added life. And I felt it would be important for me to share with you some of my thoughts and concerns. Now, you need to take, I'm just as your shepherd saying, these are the things I think about. Do I believe in prophecy? Yes, I do. Do I believe this prophecy is relevant to us? No, I don't. Now, let me tell you why. First of all, he sets up his credibility for how right he is concerning the future with how right he was in the past. And I'm sure, again, that he loves the Lord. I don't doubt his walk with the Lord. I don't doubt his sincerity. But I would just simply suggest, through 35 plus years of being a senior pastor, that over the years I've seen a lot of people who are very sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. And I think one of the things we have to be careful with is we have to be careful that I think there are things we can get in our spirit, and the art of Christian maturity is learning to hear the voice of God clearly and correctly. Now, I believe people can hear the voice of God, and I believe I have had God speak to me where I knew that I knew that I knew it was God. I also have had times where I felt I had heard from God only to find out that what I thought was God wasn't God. Ever had that happen? Anybody had that happen? Sure. And what you do then is you go back and you say, okay, where did I? You know, you try to learn from that, and you try to understand how you were interpreting things or the voice of the Lord, and that's how I think you grow in the Lord. I remember back when Y2K, so that was the year 2000 was coming, and there was this massive panic concerning computers, and the computers weren't ready to change to a new millennium, and because of that, and the dating, and the time stamping, and how the programs were written, there was going to be a massive meltdown in the U.S., and some of you weren't even born then, so you're like, wow, that's like ancient history. Yes, it was right after we, you know, had the covered wagons retired and the Model T, so, you know, it's kind of just after that. Anyway, there was this massive panic. And we were building this building, and people were predicting all kinds of things. And people were saying, instead of building a building, you should be stockpiling beans and lentils and grain and all of this stuff. And I was like, I'm not going to do it. And so, you know, we had some lively discussions. We built the building. And, you know, people were worried about it. There was a man who I greatly, you know, he's with the Lord today, but I greatly respected all of his ministries. His name's David Wilkerson. Some of you know of the Cross and the Switchblade. He went to New York City, began to reach out to gang members, and, you know, ultimately led many of them to Christ and created Teen Challenge, a ministry to people that have substance addictions primarily, but it's an international ministry. And David then built a church in New York City, Times Square Church, great church. And David was a very much a prophetic voice in his generation. He prayed, he walked with God. I mean, I can remember when I met with him, actually, while the building was under construction. You know, I'd never met him in person. I'd only read his books. And I remember somebody said, hey, do you want to have lunch with David Wilkerson? I was like, yeah. And then part of me is like, I mean, you know, because like this guy's this prophet and he's got these fiery eyes. And you're kind of like, I wonder what he's going to say to me. You know, kind of like, you're just like, Lord, I think I've confessed everything I know. I think I'm, you know, I mean, you're like that, you know. So anyway, we sit down and he says, I hear you're building a big building. And I said, well, you know, that's the plan. I said, you know, with Y2K and all. And here's what he said. Hear the word of the Lord. You'll not only build the building, but the walls will never contain the people God will send to it. Well, you know, that was at a time that was very encouraging to me. But he had also written a book that forecasted tremendous doom regarding Y2K. So his feeling was, even in the Great Depression, churches would be full. So he has this book, and it's quite startling in his predictions. And the fact of the matter is Y2K came and went, and nothing happened. And so I later had the opportunity to talk with Pastor Symbol of Brooklyn Tabernacle, because at the time I was speaking frequently at Brooklyn Tab, and Jim and I were talking about that, and Jim said, you know, it was a real disappointment to David that he had alarmed people and he felt like he had missed, you know, so terribly what God was speaking, and he just was trying to figure it out. So here's a guy who's walked with God, here's a guy who's prophetic. And so I said, well, what's your take on that? He said, you know, John, and I've never forgotten this, don't ever forget the first rule of spiritual living is you may be wrong. You know, that's a good thing that keeps us humble. We have to be very, very careful, because once somebody says, God said, God told me, it's pretty much the end of the discussion, honestly. So when you go to somebody and you're seeking counsel, you say, well, God said, you know, if somebody tells me that, I'm like, well, I don't have anything left to say, really, if you're asking me for counsel. So I think we have to be careful about that. Well, second thing is, as I listen to the prophecy, I mean, honestly, there are some things in it that make me question, do we really need the Holy Spirit to tell us that COVID's going to get worse? I mean, I think we all understood this thing, you know, you get the regular flu on top of COVID this fall, it's going to get pretty nasty. Until we get a vaccine, the future is going to, there's going to be some tough sledding. Third, can you imagine Jesus, Peter, or Paul counseling believers to stockpile ammunition? I mean, now, let me say this. If you're a prepper, and there are people that are. Listen, there are certain people who feel like, I need to to make sure that I can defend myself and my family. And if things go down, I want to have enough ammunition. I want to have enough guns, and I want to have enough food stored. Listen, if that's where you're at, I think everybody's got to do what you think's the right thing. So I'm not judging you. And if Dana's right, I'll be at your house. Just give me your address. I'm just saying, though, for believers, can you imagine Paul or Peter or Jesus telling us, get ready to shoot people? Now, folks, we got to get a hold of ourselves. That's ridiculous. Yeah. It's ridiculous for a pastor. It'd be ridiculous for me to tell you, go out and fill. Listen, if you want to go and buy ammunition and buy guns, and I'm not anti-gun. Do I have guns? I have a gun. You say, well, what are you going to do with a gun? I'm going to shoot armadillos. I mean, that's kind of what I do, okay? So, you know, hey, I grew up with guns. But am I going to counsel you to run out and arm yourself? If you choose to do that, it's your right as an American to do that, but I'm not going to, in the name of Christ, tell you to do that, because I don't think that's what Jesus is telling us to do. Somebody asked me, they said, well, don't you feel you should have a bunch of food? And I said, well, how much food? Well, don't you think you should have like a room of food or a lot of food? I said, I don't know what good it would do me, because in 1 week, if I knew my neighbors didn't have food, I'd give all the food away in the first couple of days. I mean, that's what I would do. I don't think if the world's coming to an end, I don't think anybody in this room can have enough food. And are you really not going to share it with people in need? You say, well, I just want to have it to share. And I think that's noble. But I think we have to think through. When Paul and when Peter and when Jesus, when they're preaching, I mean, Jesus predicted some really tough times, but he didn't counsel people to do that and alarm people. You know, listen, do I care about the Constitution? Sure I do. But I think we have to be very, very careful when we start mixing, you know, the Second Amendment with, you know, the coming of the Lord. I don't think the two have anything to do with one another. I just think we have to, listen, I'm not opposed to the Bill of Rights. I'm happy about the Bill of Rights. But I'm not mixing it with the coming of the Lord. I'm a citizen of heaven. I think a fourth thing to consider is he makes a statement that every day he reads 40 newspapers from around the world. And when he said that, I was like, what pastor has time to read? I can barely read the newsletter, and it's getting smaller and smaller all the time. I mean, what pastor has time? I'm sorry, I don't mean to, if you're with the newsletter. Delete that. You know, I mean, I'm just saying, how much time can you spend reading the news? And if you fill your mind with news, and can I just say, some of you need to be delivered from the news. Now, I love our news people. So, but we have to understand, news is entertainment. News is a show designed to sell advertising. And the way they sell advertising is they tell you things to alarm you. I mean, have you ever watched the national news? And a major storm is whipping the Northeast and millions of people are going to... And you're like, man, have you never seen rain or snow? Or, you know, I mean, this is part of life on planet Earth. But they're selling the next news cycle. They're trying to draw you in. Keep your eyes, you know, on this. And they're alarming Christians unnecessarily because Christians are letting them. Some of you, the best thing you could do, I know I'm going to get probably a ton of emails and all kinds of things, letters, and that's great. If that helps you, consider it my ministry to you. But the best thing you could do is give whatever news it is you watch a break. I promise you, it won't change much. Take tomorrow off. And Friday, you'll be like, wow, that sounds a lot like it did on Wednesday. Every now and then there's newsworthy stories, but I just think we have to be careful. But when we fill our mind with that, so he's filling his mind with 40 newspapers from around the world. And when you do that, what happens? Whatever you fill your mind with. Can I tell you one of the things that has been the most helpful for me during the pandemic? You're like, oh, what do you do? I'm reading more of the Bible than ever before. That has just really helped me. It has. I told the pastors, I said, it has the same effect on me that fasting does. You say, well, what are you doing? I started late, but my goal is I'm going to read the Bible through five times this year. That's kind of on my pace. And so, it's just wonderful. You read these large quantities of scripture, and it just makes you live, and it makes you alive in the Lord, and it puts your mind at peace. And what am I thinking about? I'm thinking about what I read. I'm thinking about the Word of God, because what we put in, what we feed our mind, what we feed our heart is what we're going to think about. Well, number five, you could tell us kind of, and I love the news people. We got news people here in the church, and you guys do an awesome job. So he talks about riots this fall. Listen, if Donald Trump is reelected as president, probably there'd be riots. I mean, I can envision that. He is a controversial figure in American politics and society, and there would be people that would riot. If there are more things that happen, such as have happened, where people are unjustly, with their lives taken, there's going to be protests. It's right now, that's the place, that's what's happening in society. So I don't think it's prophetic to say there have been riots, there are going to be more riots. Hyperinflation. He says, banks, the money is going to be gone, and, the currency is going to be worthless, and we're going to need to have, alternate currencies, gold and silver. I would just really counsel you to be very, very careful. I think people have to do what they think is right, but I'm concerned that people would go in and do something extreme or foolish. I think you have to be very, very careful. Listen, is hyperinflation going to come? The government is printing money like crazy. When any government does that, eventually the economy, the economic cycle, is going to go into some kind of inflationary cycle. Some say, well, it could go in a deflationary cycle, and I suppose that's possible as well. I mean, I'm not an economist. I'm just saying, I remember back in 1979 and 1980, interest rates were 21%. Some of you remember. I remember when we moved to Western Kansas, I had a car loan, and the interest rate was 13%, and I had a house loan, and the interest rate was 10.5%, and I felt lucky to get it. That seems nuts. That's why when you look at the interest now, you're like, that's crazy. I'm just saying those things are a part of an economic cycle, and it's part of living in the world in which we live. Number seven, Chinese and Russian soldiers invading the U.S. by November. I don't even know what to say to that. I know there's movies like Red Dawn and all of that, and I'm thinking, did he watch that? I don't know what he's watched, but I'm just saying that's ridiculous. I just have to say, that's ridiculous. You don't need to worry about Russians and Chinese soldiers rounding up Christians and UN peacekeepers sitting there watching it and sanctioning. That's crazy. Now listen, you can say, well, I don't know. What if God showed it to him? I can't help you there if that's where you're at. I just am saying, I don't believe that's of the Lord. And let me tell you why. The prophecy was long on terror and short on an impassioned plea for biblical priorities. That's the key problem with it. This is the thing that bothers me most about the prophecy. If you're going to take, if you're going to put yourself in the genre of an Old Testament prophet, and you don't see that in the New Testament outside of John the Baptist, and we do know what his message was. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That is his message. Or if you go to the book of Revelation, or you look at Paul, or you look at Peter where they talk about the end times, what do they talk about? The Lord is coming soon. Yes. In light of that, what kind of people should we be? Scared out of our mind? No, we should live godly and pure lives as we look forward to the coming of the Lord. We don't live in fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. If anybody should have a bold confidence and a peace that passes all understanding, it's God's people. And if anybody should be calling God's people to peace and a sound mind and joy and trust in the Lord, it's the pastors who pastor their sheep. Now listen, if I thought, you know, listen, if you have a prophecy like that, if you're Old Testament, if you're casting yourself in the Old Testament prophet light, if that's what you're saying, look at the Old Testament, what do they call people to do? National repentance and personal repentance. There's not any of that there. You have to lay a prophecy down by the Bible, and you have to say, do I see this in the Bible? And the answer is no. Now listen, again, I'm sure he's a very good guy, but I think he has unnecessarily destabilized millions of people and has sidetracked people, caused people to focus on things that I don't think Scripture calls us to. Scripture calls us to call people to repent. Jesus' ministry, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Change your thinking about God. Go from going this way, your own way, to going the way God goes. Walk with him. Number two, a call to urgently reach the lost. This would make, I would have been a whole lot happier with it if when I listened to it, he said, you know what? The world is falling apart at the seams. It's critical that you go out and you tell your neighbor you need to know Jesus, and you tell your boss you need to know Jesus, and that you go and plead with people that they know Jesus. That would be an urgent biblical priority. Yeah. Amen. And finally, the focus on the imminent return of Christ. Jesus said this, and when you see, after talking about all the signs of the end time, he says in Luke, and when you see these things come to pass, get your guns, your ammo, and your alternate currency. Jesus says, when you see these things come to pass, lift up your head, stand tall. Your redemption draws nigh. It's a totally different mindset. Peter says this, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people are you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed it. You look forward to it. You say, oh my goodness, he's coming back soon. I can't wait. John sees this great revelation. What does he say? He says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit's calling people. The church is calling people to salvation. What's John say? John says, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. I can't wait till you come. This is the attitude. John 16, Jesus said, I've told you all this so that trusting me, you'll be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace in this godless world. You'll continue to experience difficulties, but take heart. Have courage. Don't be afraid. Why? He's overcome the world. Our God is able to provide. He's not dependent upon Walmart, Price Cutter, Sam's Club to feed you. He's not. He can drop food on your doorstep if he has to. He can cause the grocery truck, the big semi, the 18-wheeler to break down on your side street. And the driver get out and say, this will spoil unless you take it. You say, how do you know? It's stories. George Mueller had that happen as he fed orphans. I mean, this is the kind of things we pray. God is our provider. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You're not going to want. No matter what happens. Take heart. Believe. Listen, I hope you don't. I'm having a bit of fun, but I'm trying to build your faith. I'm trying to tell you, don't be afraid. That's not God's will for you. Believe God. He's got the whole thing in control. And tell people about Jesus and tell him he's coming soon and love people into the kingdom. It's going to be very hard for you to witness to people if you're pointing a gun at them. I'm just saying, I think we have to really think this through a little bit. Okay, Psalm 23. You're like, wow, you used up all your time on that. I did, even though I walked through the valley of the shadow of death. What's he talking about? Even though I walk through life's darkest times. This is the middle of the psalm. It covers us through all of life, right to the end of life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But this is in the middle, structurally, theologically. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the darkest times, culture, society, or life itself can dish out to me. Even though I'm in a dark night of the soul, some of you are in that right now. Even though I'm in a season where I don't understand what's happening in the world, it can seem dark, it can seem like a valley. It is a valley. Even though I'm going through a time that is difficult and a time that seems like a valley and I don't see the end. Because when you're in the valley, it's hard to see the lay of the land, right? Even though I'm going through that time of darkness, and those times do happen in life, I will fear no evil. I won't fear something bad happening to me. I won't fear bad things coming my way. I won't fear bad times. I won't fear hard times. I won't fear what a dark time, the valley of the shadow of death. I mean, I won't even fear death. Why? We sang the song. He's doing something. You know, he is the God who's more powerful than anything we would encounter in life. And the greatest enemy we face is death. And hey, every Easter we're reminded, he took care of that. Even though I walk through the valley and the musicians can come of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Very, very interesting. He talks about the Lord in the third person. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And now all of a sudden, it's a hard time. It's a difficult time. And is God in the third person then? No. It's no longer he, it's you. It's the language of relationship. It's the language of closeness. It's the language, in your darkest time, God's going to be the closest to you. In your biggest trial, God's going to, his presence is going to be right there. Though I walk to the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you're with me. God right beside me. God right there. What's God doing? You say, what's God doing? He's just hanging out by you? Oh, no, 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 no. Thy rod. What is that? It's a club the shepherd would carry in his belt. You say, what do we need a club for? A lion, a bear, a wolf. I mean, any attacker anywhere, anybody going to hurt that? Those sheep, he's going to get his club out. And, you know, God's not out to get you and hit you, but listen, somebody attacks you, they're sticking their finger in God's eye. He says we're the apple of his eye. And God's, the psalmist is saying, listen, I don't have to worry in the worst of life circumstances because you're with me and you're protecting me. That's the idea. If necessary, fighting. You read Psalm 18, I cried to the Lord. And you know what happens? Like the heavens blaze with fire, God rides the chariot down to earth and the earth shakes and there's a rumble. And I mean, what's that saying? David's saying, listen, God will use everything at his disposal to help his people personally. You don't have to be afraid. He's going to protect you, his rod. So the devil tried to get close to you. Oh, you whack. You know, nobody's messing with you because he loves you, because he cares for you. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. Thy rod and thy staff. What's the staff? That's the shepherd's staff. He could tap a sheep and just tap them to direct them. No, don't go that way, go this way. Ever had the Lord tap you? Have the Lord say, don't do this, do that? Sometimes you maybe weren't even aware. You just found yourself, you know, you're like, I don't know how I wound up here, but I did, and it was God. He's guiding you into the future. Your rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Some of you need comfort tonight. You're all worked up. You got a lot of anxiety. And you're not, that's understandable. God understands that. I'm not saying that judgmentally. I'm not saying it condescendingly. I'm saying all of us just need to. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You don't have to be afraid of bad times, hard times, difficult times, disease times. You don't have to be afraid. Why? For you are with me. God is with you. Emmanuel, God with you. Protecting you, directing you, comforting you. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you that you're the shepherd and we're your sheep. That we're going to never be in a place where we're going to want. But Lord, you're going to provide for us all that we need. And in the most difficult and dangerous times, you're not going to be distant. You're going to be closer than ever. You're going to be beating back the enemy and fighting the enemy and You're going to be providing for us, and you're going to be leading us, and you're going to be comforting us. You're going to be with us. And I pray tonight for your people in Joplin. I pray tonight for your people at the North Campus. I pray tonight for the West Campus, for those watching online, and for, Lord, the South Campus. May you comfort your people. May you strengthen your people. May you give courage to your people. God, may we be filled with faith, walking in hope, living, Lord, powerful lives. For you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. May you restore our hearts and minds tonight. And Lord, may we be strong in you tonight when we lay down, and full of courage, faith, and hope as we get up. Lord, may we fill our thoughts and our minds and our hearts with your word and with thoughts of you. And God, you are our provider. Take care of every need. And give every person in this service tonight and online, give every person peace that passes all understanding. Guard their heart and mind.